Stepping into the portal was like settling into a warm bath, though the chill didn't fade from the air. At first, everything muted. The roar of the river and the rocks below, the chirping of the frogs and crickets on shore, the evening bustle of the town behind him. A moment later, the world erupted into vibrant life. Frogs and nightbirds sang a chorus. The air was awash with autumn scents. The moonlight painted the flowers in iridescent blue, silver, and violet, and the rushing of the river became a complex symphony. James Wyatt, Oath of Vigilance. Welcome back to the Game Masters Academy. This is the show where we strive to help you make every one of your sessions great. My name is Greg. Thank you very much for joining me. This week, as we continue our Planar series, we're going to take a look at the Feywild and the Shadowfell. Here on the Game Masters Academy, we specialize in every week providing additional bits of information, tricks, tips, utility, rules, and regulations regarding D&D 5e specifically, with an emphasis geared towards DMing and or newer DMs. Though if you're a veteran DM, then there are plenty of little things here for you as well. Last week, we started with an overview on the planes and how those interact with each other, as well as a almost like a geographical representation of how that would look if we're zoomed way out looking at the material plane for the campaign of your setting. And that is a great overview for individuals that may not have a ton of information regarding the actual way that the planes are orchestrated within D&D. This week we're going to spend our time on the Feywild as well as Shadowfell, just giving a little bit more in-depth overview of both of those locations, what they look like, how to be able to implement them within your world, things along those lines. Before we get into that, I just would like to ask that each one of you download, like, subscribe, everything that you can do for the algorithm. I appreciate all the efforts that you do, and I am super happy that you have joined me on our planar journey. With that out of the way, let's talk about the Feywild, which is what that excerpt was from. That's directly out of the Dungeon Master's Guide. And so the Feywild is a mirrored or an echo of the material plane. And so the geography of the Feywild is going to resemble that of the material plane, but in spectacular, glorious fashion, or spectacularly terrifying fashion, depending on your location that you find yourself. So the easiest way to think of this is what you would imagine as your typical fairy garden is what the Feywild will look like if you're in the seely areas of the Feywild or the summer courts. I think the easiest thought process on that is going to be Lothlorien and or Rivendell, if you are familiar with Tolkien and the way that those are represented in the movies or the way that they're represented within the books. That is a great way of envisioning this. Fairy gardens, little things along those lines are all just stereotypical Feywild spaces. But the Feywild also has the opposite. And so it's going to also have spaces that are a bog or a creepy forest where the trees almost feel more alive than normal trees. And as you continue going deeper into the space, there's a creepy old hut that a hag lives in. So you have both of those types of things. And a common misconception between the two is that there's good and evil. And I think potentially a better way of looking at the summer courts and the winter courts, you know, the two examples I was just giving you there, is not so much that they're evil, but they more closely align to the seasons that they are. So summer is passion, energy, life, beauty, and winter is cold, cruel, and bitter. And I think that that potentially helps us, because when you get to the Queen of Air and Darkness, commonly referred to like through Lovecraft and, you know, things along those lines, as Mab, she's not so much evil, but she is cruel and she is bitter. And as with all fairies, they are going to be love the idea of a deal and interacting and misguiding and deceiving outside visitors to the realm. One of the ways that I have helped differentiate between the Feywild and the Shadowfell is that regardless of the location you are in the Feywild, whether it is a seely area where there's beautiful babbling brooks and, you know, copse of trees and all sorts of beautiful things there, or if it's dark and haunted forest type, I almost feel like everything in the Feywild is more alive than normal, whereas everything in the Shadowfell is more dead than normal. And I think that's kind of what helps me differentiate between the two, because you could have a very old, creepy forest where the trees feel like they're alive and following the party, and that feels Feywild. But if you were to go to the same creepy forest that was in the Shadowfell, where it's all dark and gloomy, which we'll get into more of that, and the trees that they see are all dead and decaying, I think that kind of helps us get the right picture between the two areas, because the unseely areas of the Feywild, at first thought, seem very similar to the areas of the Shadowfell. So that's a little trick that I use to help me when I'm doing descriptions and or planning different areas within the Feywild. The main area within the Feywild has a never-setting sun. And so that is a always-on-the-horizon. It's not like it's high noon all the time. It's basically right at sunset, and it never rises and it never sets. And almost gives you this vision of autumn type of deal, where it creates long shadows that can be deceptive. As far as additional colors in the space, it's going to be a lot more reds and oranges due to the way that the sun is currently setting in the sky, even though it's not actually moving. And that's going to kind of paint you that correct picture for what the Feywild looks like. Some common creatures that inhabit the Feywild are typical fey creatures, but it's also going to be geared more towards the area that they're in. So sylvan creatures, elves, dryads, satyrs, pixies, sprites, centaurs, blah, blah, blah. Fairy dragons, unicorns, all of that is the seely side of the Feywild. Whereas the darker regions of the plain that are more to deal with the unseely or the wild lands where there's not particularly an alliance, we'll have things like hags, blights, the goblins, ogres, hobgoblins, I shouldn't say just goblins, goblinoids, ogres, potentially giants, frost giants, things along those lines. And so we've talked about the seely and the unseely a little bit, but the two courts, like I've said, are not evil or good, but they are working against each other. In a lot of literature, the two queens, Titania and Mab, are either sisters or related. They're jealous of each other, and they go to war very rarely, but they do oppose each other frequently, and that's done through proxies, manipulations, things along those lines. And then there's other independent-type spirits that could potentially reject either court. Super just ugly and terrible denizens of the Feywild, such as Fomorians and Hags, are pretty much rejected by both of the courts. So there's this summer, winter, and then just unclaimed-type spirits. And that's what the Feywild is typically consistent of. Getting to how to get there, the portals are available, and they are, I guess it would be kind of typical to me, but I'll just read you what the Dungeon Master's Guide says is a little bit of a crossing or a fey portal. It would be a clearing, wading into a pool, stepping into a circle of mushrooms, or crawling under the trunk of a tree. And this is one of those things where, as the individual doing it, it just feels like you're kind of walking. But for anybody else, you're there 1 second and then just disappear completely. And so that transition is rather quick. And for the individual taking the portal, it is hard to notice that that's happening. Now, a lot of them have some unique and crazy ideas when they're available. It's not like it's just always there. It might only happen during like a full moon. Might only happen at, you know, noon on a specific day of the week. Things along those lines help kind of regulate the overlap of the two planes. And when those types of boundaries are the thinnest is when the portals would be easiestly able to activate and allow passage from one to the next. Within the Feywild, there's a couple of different optional rules that can be implemented. The first one has to do with memory loss. And so if you are a creature that is not originally from the Feywild and you go there, there is an optional rule that you have to make a DC 10 wisdom saving throw, or you forget everything that happened when you were in the Feywild completely. On a successful save, the creature's memories remain intact but are a little hazy. And things that are from this area, like elves, fey ancestry, those are the types of creatures that would be able to automatically succeed on this particular saving throw based off of their creature's origin. And then the other optional item here for Feywild travel would be what's called time warp. And that's the idea that time is a little funky when you're in the Feywild. There's a chart in the Dungeon Master's Guide, a D20. If you are 1 to 2 on the D20, a day becomes a minute in the real world. And that goes all the way up to a day becomes a year in the material plane. And obviously all of that is pretty crazy as far as how that can affect the rest of what's going on.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
One of the suggestions is that if you talk to like an archfey or a significantly powerful enough fey, that you could use a Gaius spell or a wish to prevent that type of a time warp from occurring. So that's basically just a quick little overview there of the Feywild, the idea, never setting sun, the difference between the sylvan creatures, which we would typically associate with the summer fey, and more of the winter fey, which would be, you know, goblinoids and ogres and hags and blights, things along those lines. The way that I distinguish the unseelie areas of the Feywild from the Shadowfell is that the unseelie areas are more alive than normal, and the Shadowfell is death. And you can still have a dark and bleary, a bog, something that is extremely dangerous and dark and brooding, but make sure that we are giving it that extra life compared to what it would normally look like type of a description to help delineate between the two. There's, I'm sure, other ways to do it as well. If there's something else that you can think of that you use to help delineate between the two, feel free to leave me a comment or write me a review of some kind. I'd love to hear it. That's something that, like I said, I definitely struggled with trying to figure that out. All right, so we are going to move over to Shadowfell and the differences between the two and what Shadowfell specifically looks like. We will start with another excerpt from the Dungeon Master's Guide. Riven stood in the uppermost room of the central tower of his citadel, a fortress of shadows and dark stone carved in relief into the sheer face of a jagged peak. The starless black vault of the plain sky hung over a landscape of gray and black, where lived the dark simulacra of actual things. Shadows and wraiths and specters and ghosts and other undead hung in the air around the citadel, or prowled the foothills and plains near it, so numerous their glowing eyes looked like swarms of fireflies. He felt the darkness in everything he could see, felt it as an extension of himself, and the feeling made him too big by half. Paul S. Kemp, The Godborn. So again, as we look at the Shadowfell, we're going to be looking at a space that is full of undeath. And one of the things it talks about here is where the Feywild may be vibrant and overabundant in colors in specific areas or in life, the Shadowfell is the complete reduction of color and the complete void of living items and materials within the space. And so again, that's a helpful way to look at it as we describe the space to our players. As far as creatures go within the plane, your typical undeath, but then there's shadow dragons and cloakers, dark mantles, things along those lines. There's a group of enemies that are in Mordekainen's, which are the Lost Sorrowsworn. There's like the Lost, the Hungry, that type of thing. And those are humanoids that have been twisted by the bleak desolation that is the Shadowfell. And so those are definitely something to take a look at within the area that you are if you're traversing in your campaign through the Shadowfell. Similar to Fae crossings, there are Shadow crossings, and those have a lot to do with, I guess, death, gloomy places. So, corner of a crypt, you could have one within an open grave, an area of a battlefield, a tomb, and that is something that only exists during darkness. And so, as soon as light reaches upon that area, not just daylight, but light, then that closing could potentially just close off from the existence within the material plane. We talked a little bit about it in the overview, but there is a city in the Shadowfell that is a mirror of Neverwinter, and that city is called Evernight, and it's exactly what it sounds like. Made mostly, the roads are made mostly of trampled grave dust. There's a few cobbled streets, but they're missing just enough to appear pockmarked. Almost think of it like a post-apocalyptic city where the inhabitants are all undeath in some form. Everything is in a state of disrepair, dark, ugly, void of color, and just has this oppressive weight that sets upon you as you enter Evernight. Also, one of the things that exists within the Shadowfell, in remote corners, are what are typically called Domains of Dread. The Ravenloft campaign setting, as well as the Curse of Strahd for Count Strahd von Zarovich, are both examples of the areas within the Shadowfell that are Domains of Dread. And I guess one of the things, the Dark Powers, as it's called, created them as prisons for these Dark Lords, and to basically keep them from the rest of the spaces. Just like in the Feywild, there are additional rules when you travel to the Shadowfell, and one of them is Despair. And so the idea here is that you make a DC 10 wisdom saving throw And if you fail, you roll a d6 to determine the level of despair that you have gotten. So you gain apathy, dread, and delusion. And that's something that you then utilize as a roleplay mechanic for your characters that are within or traveling through the Shadowfell itself. All of those things are like a curse, or basically the idea is you can use a calm emotion spell to remove it, and or remove curse spell to remove the despair from the characters. And that's basically the extent of the Shadowfell. One of the things that I don't know that it specifically states, but I like the idea of, is that a place within the material plane that mirrors the emotions that would come from one of the echo planes would be a great location for a crossing. And so what I mean by that is the corner of a stage where a play is going on, where there's tons and tons of comedies, would potentially be a decent location for a crossing into a satyr habitat or a satyr village or whatever you want to call it. Whereas a dark and ancient crypt that never sees the light of day would be a great crossing to get into the Shadowfell. I think that matching the emotions of a location within the material plane to the corresponding type of emotions that could occur within one of the echo planes is a great way of thinking about where to place our planar portals. Yes, we can just have a circle of mushrooms and you have to dance in it out in the middle of the woods. That's fine. But there's no reason that we can't have some sort of planar crossing within a city or within other areas where the emotions of that space easily match up to one of the emotions of an echo plane as well. On the subject of these planar crossings or portals, they are things that can be permanently closed. And so an easy way of explaining that is, let's say there's a circle of mushrooms and some king clear cuts the forest and builds a castle on top of it. Well, that has permanently destroyed that planar crossing. And maybe in your campaign, the planar crossings are so few that travel almost never happens. And that means that trying to find one of these crossings becomes its own plot line that your characters have to go through. Or you could also do the exact opposite and make it so that they're so readily abundant that finding one isn't even really that hard to begin with. And so there's a lot of variations that you can do for the setting that you're doing. But in general, if the section of the material world is destroyed, that means that that is a permanent destruction of that planar crossing to one of the echo planes that it used to go to. That is pretty much it for the Feywild and for Shadowfell. Both of the echo planes obviously mirror the locations that they work with within the material plane and have a extreme version of them in each planar area. Go write awesome stories and add the additional planes to your campaign. Even if we are not doing a plane hopping type of a campaign, the opportunity for us to add these little bits and pieces helps the world feel more alive and more of a common occurrence would be movement between the echo planes and the material plane, as opposed to, you know, going to Mount Celestia. Most of the time, that's going to be a very rare occurrence. And so don't feel like I don't really want to do a planes hopping type of campaign and That means I can't do Shadowfell or Feywild, because that's not really what's going on here. It's a mirror of the same idea of where we already are. Going there is not really going to be a planes hopping type of a campaign where you're, you know, jumping from one plane to the next type of feel. So we want to potentially have enemies from here, potentially go here, you know, things that will fit for the actual campaign that we are running. But don't shy away from it just because you don't want it to have that feel, because these two locations and somewhat the ethereal and the astral don't really have that same kind of setting that you might be shying away from. So branch out, explore the boundaries of the planar portals, and as always, let's let the dice decide.